He walked up the stairs steadily, not fast. That would have meant he was eager to go to his death, and not slow. That would have meant he was afraid. Someone had cleaned the stairwell. The black garbage bags had gone. The place smelled of the chlorine smell of bleach, no longer of rotting vegetables. The red painted door at the top of the stairs was wide open. The smell of old meals hung in the air. Shadow hesitated, then he pressed the doorbell.
I come!
Called a woman's voice, and dwarf small and dazzlingly blonde, Zorya Uchunyaya came out of the kitchen and bustled toward him, wiping her hands on her apron. She looked different, Shadow realized. She looked happy. Her cheeks were rouged red, and there was a sparkle in her old eyes. When she saw him, her mouth became an O, and she called out,
Shadow, you came back to us!
And she hurried toward him with her arms outstretched. He bent down and embraced her, and she kissed his cheek.
So good to see you! Now you must go away.
Shadow stepped into the apartment. All the doors in the apartment, except, unsurprisingly, Zorya Polunichnaya's, were wide open, and all the windows he could see were open as well. A gentle breeze blew fitfully through the corridor.
You're spring cleaning.
We have a guest coming. Now you must go away. First, you want coffee?
I came to see Chernobog. It's time.
Zorya Uchunyaya shook her head violently.
No, no. You don't want to see him. Not a good idea.
I know. But you know, the only thing I've really learned about dealing with gods is that if you make a deal, you keep it. They get to break all the rules they want. We don't. Even if I tried to walk out of here, my feet would just bring me back.
It's true. But go today. Come back tomorrow. He will be gone then.
Who is it? Zorya Uchunyaya, to who are you talking?
Called a woman's voice from further down the corridor.
This mattress I cannot turn on my own, you know?
Shadow walked down the corridor and said,
Good morning, Zorya Uchunyaya. Can I help?
Which made the woman in the room squeak with surprise and drop her corner of the mattress. The bedroom was thick with dust. It covered every surface. The wood and the glass, and motes of it floated and danced through the beams of sunshine coming through the open window, disturbed by occasional breezes and the lazy flapping of the yellowed lace curtains. He remembered this room. This was the room they had given to Wednesday that night. Vielabog's room. Zorya Uchunyaya eyed him uncertainly.
The mattress, it needs to be turned.
Not a problem,
said Shadow. He reached out and took the mattress, lifted it with ease, and turned it over. It was an old wooden bed, and the feather mattress weighed almost as much as a man. Dust flew and swirled as the mattress went down.
Why are you here?
Asked Zorya Uchunyaya. It was not a friendly question, the way she asked it.
I'm here because back in December, a young man played a game of checkers with an old god, and he lost.
The old woman's gray hair was up on the top of her head in a tight bun. She pursed her lips.
Come back tomorrow.
I can't.
It's your funeral. Now you go and sit down. Zorya Uchunyaya will bring you coffee. Chernobog will be back soon.
Shadow walked along the corridor to the sitting room. It was just as he remembered, although now the window was open. The gray cat slept on the arm of the sofa. It opened an eye as Shadow came in, and then, unimpressed, it went back to sleep. This was where he had played checkers with Chernobog. This was where he had wagered his life to get the old man to join them on Wednesday's last doomed grift. The fresh air came in through the open window, blowing the stale air away. Zorya Uchunyaya came in with a red wooden tray. A small enameled cup of steaming black coffee sat on the tray, beside a saucer filled with small chocolate chip cookies. She put it down on the table in front of him.
I saw Zorya Polunichnaya again. She came to me out of the world, and she gave me the moon to light my way. And she took something from me, but I don't remember what.
She likes you. She dreams so much, and she guards us all. She is so brave.
Where's Chernobog?
He says the spring cleaning makes him uncomfortable. He goes out to buy newspapers, sit in the park, buy cigarettes. Perhaps he will not come back today.
You do not have to wait. Why don't you go? Come back tomorrow.
I'll wait.
This was no Gesh forcing him to wait. He knew that. This was him. It was one last thing that needed to happen. And if it was the last thing that happened, well, he was going there of his own volition. After this, there would be no more obligations, no more mysteries, no more ghosts. He sipped the hot coffee, as black and as sweet as he remembered. He heard a deep male voice in the corridor, and he sat up straighter. He was pleased to see that his hand was not trembling. The door opened.
Shadow?
Hi,
said Shadow. He stayed sitting down. Chernabog walked into the room. He was carrying a folded copy of the Chicago Sun-Times, which he put down on the coffee table. He stared at Shadow, then he put his hand out tentatively. The two men shook hands.
I came. Our deal. You came through with your part of it. This is my part.
Chernabog nodded. His brow creased. The sunlight glinted on his gray hair and mustache, making them appear almost golden.
Is not... Maybe you should go. Is not a good time.
Take as long as you need. I'm ready.
Chernabog sighed.
You're a very stupid boy. You know that?
I guess.
You're a stupid boy. And on the mountaintop, you did a very good thing.
I did what I had to do.
Perhaps.
Chernabog walked to the old wooden sideboard and, bending down, pulled an attaché case from underneath it. He flipped the catches on the case. Each one sprang back with a satisfying thump. He opened the case. He took a hammer out and hefted it experimentally. The hammer looked like a scaled-down sledgehammer. Its wooden haft was stained. Then he stood up. He said,
I owe you much. More than you know. Because of you, things are changing. This is springtime. The true spring.
I know what I did. I didn't have a lot of choice.
Chernabog nodded. There was a look in his eyes that Shadow did not remember seeing before.
Did I ever tell you about my brother?
Bielabog?
Shadow walked to the center of the ash-stained carpet. He went down on his knees.
You said you hadn't seen him in a long time.
Yes,
said the old man, raising the hammer.
It has been a long winter, boy. A very long winter. But the winter is ending now.
And he shook his head slowly as if he were remembering something, and he said,
Close your eyes.
Shadow closed his eyes and raised his head, and he waited. The head of the sledgehammer was cold, icy cold, and it touched his forehead as gently as a kiss.
Puck. There,
said Chernabog.
He's done.
There was a smile on his face that Shadow had never seen before, an easy, comfortable smile like sunshine on a summer's day. The old man walked over to the case, and he put the hammer away, and closed the bag, and pushed it back under the sideboard.
Chernabog? Are you Chernabog?
Yes, for today. By tomorrow it will all be Bielabog. But today is still Chernabog.
Then why? Why didn't you kill me when you could?
The old man took out an unfiltered cigarette from a pack in his pocket. He took a large box of matches from the mantelpiece and lit the cigarette with a match. He seemed deep in thought.
Because,
said the old man after some time,
there is blood, but there is also gratitude. And it has been a long, long winter.
Shadow got to his feet. There were dusty patches on the knees of his jeans where he had knelt, and he brushed the dust away.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Next time you want to play checkers, you know where to find me. This time, I play white.
Thanks. Maybe I will. But not for a while.
He looked into the old man's twinkling eyes, and he wondered if they had always been that cornflower shade of blue. They shook hands, and neither of them said goodbye. Shadow kissed Zorya Uchenyaya on the cheek on his way out, and he kissed Zorya Vechernyaya on the back of her hand, and he took the stairs out of that place, two at a time.